Beets are a great source of nitric oxide, and you can get the benefits of 3 whole beets in just 1 teaspoon of Super Beets without the beet taste. No fuss, no muss. It's a great way to get your nitric oxide in your bloodstream elevated. Call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com. That's 800-738-2198. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to focus on a very, very important organ of the body, which is your brain. We have unprecedented levels of neurodegenerative disease, and partly it's because we're simply living longer. We manage to keep people alive long enough for their brains to deteriorate, and we have the prospect that by 2050, we're going to have a very, very sizable population suffering from all manner of neurodegenerative problems, namely Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's disease, and other brain disorders. So today we're going to talk to an expert on this subject. He's written a great book called The Neurogenesis Diet and Lifestyle, Upgrade Your Brain, Upgrade Your Life. He's Dr. Brant Courtwright. Dr. Courtwright is a clinical psychologist. He's a professor of psychology at the California Institute of Integral Studies, which is in Northern California. And he has a consulting practice which specializes in cutting-edge brain health and neuroscience-informed depth therapy. He's the author of 2 previous books. He lives, as I said, in the San Francisco Bay Area. So without further ado, here's Dr. Courtwright. It's a pleasure having you as a guest here on Intelligent Medicine.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, you know, the term neurogenesis, it's kind of an interesting term because we tend to think a lot about neurodegeneration. And in your book, you tried to dispel the notion that we're destined to have progressive decline in mental function. In fact, you enumerate some brain myths, and one of the brain myths is that it's all a downhill course. So tell us a little bit about how you came up with that title.
That's right. Well, the title comes out of new research done in the field of neurogenesis. And probably you were trained in school, like I was, that the brain stops growing after we're about, early 20s or so. And then it's just one slow slide downhill after that.
Right.
Well, about 16, 17, 18 years ago, they discovered that's not true, that actually the brain makes new brain cells throughout the entire lifetime. There's a big decline in middle age and a plateauing, and there's another decline in old age and a plateauing. And for a long time, they didn't know what the significance was of neurogenesis, of making new brain cells. Okay, so we thought we didn't make new brain cells, and now we think we do. Great, but so what?
So a familiar trope when I was in college was, how many brain cells did you lose last night? You know, we would tie one on, we'd go on a bender, and it'd be like, those brain cells are irretrievably lost. So, it's a good thing we have billions of them because, we can still brush our teeth and walk in a straight line. But then again, we were, 19 years old.
right. And vulnerable at that point.
Right.
Well, in the last few years, they've discovered that our rate of neurogenesis, the rate at which we make new brain cells, excuse me, is hugely important. That with a very low rate of neurogenesis, what we see are things like cognitive decline, memory problems, stress, anxiety, depression. And the opposite of that, high rates of neurogenesis are associated with cognitive enhancement, with rapid learning, with protection from stress, depression, anxiety. It's really quite extraordinary. The rate of neurogenesis, it turns out, can be increased 5 times. But we're living in such a neurotoxic culture, such a neurotoxic world, that there's lots of things we're doing which is slowing our rate of neurogenesis. And so what this book is about, it's about ways in which we can increase our rate of neurogenesis, which will bring about cognitive enhancement, and a new level of emotional resilience.
So it sounds like we could break it down into two different aspects. One is, you know, the things that bring down our brain function or hamper our brain function or accelerate neurodegeneration. We want to get rid of those, the bad things. And then there are the good things, the beneficial things that can actually support and improve brain function. So why don't we talk about some of the things that we're up against in terms of downers for brain function?
Okay, good. You know, this is such recent stuff that it's only in the last few years that this has become clear. So we have, for, thousands of years now, been eating in ways and created a civilization that produces a lot of chronic inflammation in the system, as well as chronic stress. I think there's probably four big poisons that we need to protect against. Chronic inflammation being number one, chronic stress being number two, physical assaults like a concussion, number three, and then deprivation, meaning like very little brain stimulation, very little sensory stimulation. Think of like solitary confinement.
Dr. Cordray, what are some of the things that people should be doing from a diet standpoint, from a supplement standpoint, from a mindfulness standpoint to enhance their brain function?
Good. So the perspective of this book is holistic. So we're really looking at body, heart, mind, and spirit, all dimensions of our being, and how working with each one of these all together can enhance the whole brain. If you just work with one aspect of it, you're not going to get as good an effect as if you work with everything together. And let me just share an experiment that was done some years back with mice, where they gave mice a holistic treatment. That isn't what they called it. That's my name for it. But what they did was they gave mice an enriched environment, meaning they gave them great food to eat. They gave them a very stimulating environment to live in, lots of nesting materials to play with, to explore, running wheels, other friendly mice to play with and mate with. And they found that their rates of neurogenesis just exploded. They went up like five times the normal rate. That's a holistic treatment, because it turns out that any one thing we do, running, for example, or aerobic exercise, it's one of the best things you can do for neurogenesis. Again, the brain just explodes with new neurons when you do aerobic exercise, something that gets you breathing quickly, running, swimming, biking, fast dancing, whatever.
But so exercise, excuse me, there's this thing called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and it seems that exercise is a specific trigger for that that growth factor in the brain.
That's right. BDNF is like Miracle-Gro for the brain. It's one of the major things involved in stimulating neurogenesis. And so we want to have high levels of this, naturally high levels of this, through exercise and through other things. But just exercise alone, although it stimulates neurogenesis, about half of those new brain cells die very quickly. The brain prunes between 40 and 60% of these new neurons. But if you do other things, for example, have a lot of novel sensory stimulation, or, for example, taking the flavonoid hesperidin, what hesperidin does is it keeps new brain cells alive. Hesperidin is one of the things to include in your diet, because although certain things increase the rate of neurogenesis in new brain cells, hesperidin keeps them alive. And we don't really know exactly yet what the impact is of different kinds of stimulation. We know that everything working together works much better than one thing working alone. So that's the overall structure, a holistic approach, body, heart, mind, spirit. So at the level of body, at our physical level, there's lots of things we can do. Running or aerobic exercise or very fast walking, again, one of the best things we can do. Touch is also stimulating of neurogenesis. Not just any kind of touch, of course. It has to be welcomed. It has to be, we have to trust it. We have to want it. but touch increases our rate of neurogenesis.
So this actually suggests a role for, on the one hand, therapeutic touch therapies, massage, but also on a more fundamental level, physical contact, hugging,
yes.
Making love,
yes.
and being in a relationship.
That's right. And sexual experience is another thing that increases the rate of neurogenesis. this may be an unusual reason to have sex, but
it's good for your brain. Yeah.
It's good for your brain. That's right. Although there's one caveat here.
Well, now that I know that, I'll take up sex once again. I just kind of forgotten about that.
It turns out that for males, it doesn't make any difference who controls the rhythm or the speed. However, for females, they only get a boost in neurogenesis if they control the timing of the sex.
Wow.
So, yeah. Men, pay attention here.
Okay.
Being a good lover means being mutual, really taking your lead from your lover.
Because otherwise you're going to end up with, your brain's going to be okay, but you'll have a demented lover eventually.
Right.
You want to stay on the same plane.
That's right.
Right.
There's a number of things I'll mention in the book, but let me also go to diet. And there's
yeah.
a special chapter in the book on diet, just because there's so many things we can do around diet to both enhance neurogenesis as well as foods to avoid that decrease neurogenesis.
Okay,
so this
is around the theme of inflammation, possibly, right?
That's part of it, yes. Let me give you the top four supplements that increase neurogenesis. Number one is probably blueberries.
Wow, okay.
Blueberries are just, the brain just takes off with blueberries. Blueberries are also an antioxidant. They're also anti-inflammatory. And in the studies, what they do is they give blueberry extract. And so people have wondered, well, is blueberry extract better than just plain blueberries? Well, it turns out, in terms of glucose control, blueberry extract is actually better.
Okay.
Because that brings about better glycemic control.
Mm-hmm. If you had to get all this, the natural essence of blueberries, you'd have to eat so many blueberries, you might counteract some of the benefits with the sugar content.
That's right. Well, actually, you only need about a cup, the equivalent of a cup a day, which isn't too bad. But most people, that's still more sugar than you need. And you could take it in through some capsules and actually get a little bit more of a benefit from it. And also then you don't have to wait for them to be in season. You can do it all year round.
Indeed.
The second thing is omega-3 fatty acids. And probably, although blueberries are incredible, if there's one thing in your diet that everybody should have, it's plenty of omega-3s. And I know that your listeners are familiar with this. So 60% of the brain is made up of fat. And of that, a third of it is DHA. DHA is one of the three omega-3s. There's ALA, EPA, and DHA. and DHA, in terms of the brain, and in terms of the eyes also, is the most important. If you want to build a good high-end house, what you do is you use really good materials to do that. You don't use rotting wood or defective materials. Same with the brain. To build a good brain, we need to use high-quality materials. And the highest quality materials are healthy fats and particularly omega-3s. And particularly omega-3s with a high DHA content. I know that you've talked about DHA and EPA and all that in previous podcasts, and so I'm sure this isn't total news to your listeners, but just to underscore it, if you're not doing, 2 to 4 to 5 grams a day of a good omega-3 supplement, or in terms of fish, your brain is probably working less optimally than it could be.
So you're recommending relatively high intake of a particularly DHA-rich formulation of fish oil.
That's right. And it turns out that, neurogenesis is deeply involved with depression. They really didn't understand the significance of neurogenesis until they started exploring the effect of antidepressants on the brain. And it turns out the way antidepressants work is by increasing the rate of neurogenesis. Right? They thought it was by increasing the rate of serotonin for many years. There was this whole serotonin deficiency myth. Pharmaceutical companies.
From what I understand, the brain sort of remodels a little bit. It creates new connections in successful therapy with drugs, but also in successful psychotherapy. There's actually demonstrable changes in the brain circuitry that occur with both processes.
That's right. That's right. BDNF levels go up, and neurogenesis gets stimulated. So it turns out that the higher rates of serotonin caused by the SSRIs stimulates neurogenesis. And the reason I'm talking about this now in relationship to omega-3s is that omega-3s, and particularly DHA, also stimulate neurogenesis, but at an extremely high rate. And there are some studies to show that taking 6 grams to 8 grams of omega-3s is more effective than SSRIs for treating depression, but without any of the side effects. So with SSRIs and with antidepressants, less than 50% of the people experience benefit. And it turns out that the newer antidepressants, the ones that also increase norepinephrine or dopamine, those also stimulate neurogenesis. It's not because of the increase in serotonin or dopamine or norepinephrine, as the pharmaceutical companies have been advertising, but it's because of the increase in neurogenesis. And there are many things that increase neurogenesis naturally. And omega-3 is a champion of doing that.
Great. Any other supplements that are among your favorites?
Yeah, two others. Green tea. Green tea is also an anti-inflammatory, also an antioxidant, and also hugely powerful in terms of increasing our rate of neurogenesis. And what we want is 10 to 15 cups a day of the EGCG in green tea. But we don't want
that wouldn't work for me, because I can do with about a cup of green tea and then I have to hold my nose.
That's right. You don't want that much caffeine.
Right.
But they have extracts out where one capsule is caffeine-free and has the equivalent of 10 to 15 cups of green tea, EGCG. And so I would recommend those, because caffeine is actually one of these things that decreases the rate of neurogenesis.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Because there are actually some studies that suggest that you can sometimes ward off dementia with lots of coffee. But maybe it's not the caffeine. It's the dark polyphenols in the coffee that might affect the brain.
The polyphenols in coffee are good for you. But the caffeine, and again, there's mixed science here. Hmm. With caffeine, it seems to increase certain kinds of cognitive abilities, short-term memory, in the short run. But over the long run, it's clear now that caffeine lowers our rate of neurogenesis. I hate to say this to people, because our society practically runs on caffeine.
Indeed.
But in fact, there's a whole generation of graduate students in neuroscience labs who have tried to show that caffeine is actually good for neurogenesis. They've experimented at every level. These neuroscience labs run on this stuff.
Yeah, just parenthetically, I don't know if you're a guy who studies this. Do you have any thoughts on the prevalent use of ADD medications? You know, there's a very high percentage of our kids now, and many adults who are diagnosed with ADD. They get medications that seems to help them focus and concentrate, and they remain on these medications for years and sometimes decades. Could this does this have a neutral effect on the brain, a beneficial effect, or a harmful effect ultimately?
That's a good question. I can't see how it would have a beneficial effect over the long term. I don't think the science is there in terms of the effect on neurogenesis, so I can't comment on that. But, you know, there are other alternative treatments, such as mindfulness meditation, which mm-hmm. also increases the rate of neurogenesis. And the studies I've been reading lately show that after 2 years of Adderall or something like that, Ritalin, the effects tend to go away. And so training in something like mindfulness practice, which is essentially training in attention, would of course have good results with ADD, which is difficulties with attention.
Indeed. Well, so tell us what that entails.
So it entails, they've actually been doing this with young people as well as with older people. So, for example, one practice is simply to focus on the sensation of breath in your body, to focus on the sensation of breath coming into your nostrils, down the back of your throat, into your lungs, having your belly go out as the air comes in, and then having it go out and follow the sensations as it goes out. Doing that for 20 to 30 minutes a day for 8 weeks brings about measurable, visible changes in your brain and increases your rate of neurogenesis and also has a positive effect on ADD, where people can focus better and longer than they could beforehand.
What are some resources for people to learn more about how to implement that?
Okay, there's a good website through UCLA. The University of California, Los Angeles, has a mindfulness research center. And they have a website with a lot of free downloadable articles about this very thing. And I recently saw a book in a bookstore that was Mindfulness for Adult ADD Sufferers. Wow. And I don't remember the name of it, but I imagine if you Google it, you could come up with it. But I would check out the UCLA website. It's free and readily available.
I think we were one short of the four supplements that you thought were...
Yes, the fourth one is turmeric.
Okay.
Or curcumin. Again, anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, and very, very powerful in terms of boosting our rate of neurogenesis.
Okay. So what about specific recommendations for exercise?
It looks like aerobic exercise is what is neurogenic, is what boosts neurogenesis. Things like yoga have lots of health benefits, but increasing neurogenesis isn't one of them. It might have an effect in that it would reduce stress, and so lowering stress will boost neurogenesis. But what we want is something that gets you breathing fast, breathing hard. So we've covered body and diet, and we've touched on spiritual practice. It turns out, as we said, mindfulness practice appears to increase neurogenesis. Also devotional practices. Practices that open the heart, that open us to a deeper source of love and compassion, also appear to increase our rate of neurogenesis. And then at the level of the heart and the mind, new learning increases our rate of neurogenesis. What we want to do is use our brain. Our brain thrives on engaging with the world. When we don't engage, the brain atrophies. The glial cells prune unused connections. And so what we want to do is really, as much as possible, have an active, mind. You know, research shows that there's a drop in cognitive abilities at two points in people's lives, one after they finish college and one after they retire, unless people then continue to engage their brains and their minds. So if there's a fall off in that, then we see lower rates of neurogenesis, cognitive decline. So we want to be reading, we want to be stimulating our brain in lots of different ways, writing, music, learning new things. All of this is great.
Social interaction, volunteer work perhaps.
Yes. And that's part of the emotional dimension to this as well. We also need healthy relationships. Unhealthy relationships, relationships that are bullying or stressful, scary, traumatic, or angry, slow down our rate of neurogenesis. But loving, supportive relationships increase neurogenesis. The brain flowers with loving, supportive relationships. This seems like common sense, but it's nice that the science now supports this.
Well, absolutely, and you really bring the science together beautifully in the Neurogenesis Diet and Lifestyle, the book that you've written. So what's today's Intelligent Medicine Call to Action? What should we recommend readers to? Do you have a website? Are there other sources of information?
Yes, well, there's the book's website, which is www.neurogenesisdiet.com. And there is my website, which is randcourtwright.com. The book's available on Amazon and Kobo and Nook and Apple.
And you also have a private practice where you work with clients to enhance neurogenesis?
That's right. People who are looking to enhance their cognitive capacities, are looking to have a healthy brain, and also looking to avoid cognitive decline and dementia. You know, it's been assumed that there's nothing you can do to slow down or stop Alzheimer's or cognitive decline. But there's recent evidence to show that a kind of holistic treatment offered in the book, a kind of simplified version of that, actually will not only stop and delay cognitive decline, but even reverse cognitive decline. I don't know if we have time to go into that.
Yeah, but please, let's do, because this was a really exciting study. This is the context of this is that, you know, we've spent literally billions trying to come up with anti-Alzheimer's drugs, most of which have equivocal short-term or negligible benefits or have side effects, which makes it impossible to comply with their use. And so on the high-tech front, we're really dismal failure. But then this study has come along, which you can tell us about in a moment, which seems to validate, simple, natural lifestyle measures as being very powerful at slowing the progression or even reversing dementia. So share with our listeners the details of that study.
Yeah, that's right. This comes out of the Buck Foundation for Aging in Marin County. And there's not a lot of money in holistic research. There's a lot of money if you're out to discover a new compound that can be patented. So holistic research doesn't tend to happen too much. But at the Buck Institute, what they did was they approached this from a systems perspective or a holistic perspective. And these lifestyle changes involved, again, body, heart, mind, spirit. It involved a period of mindfulness practice every day. It involved getting enough sleep. It involved exercise. It involved looking at emotional factors such as stress levels. It involved looking at diet. And what they found is that this was a very small pilot study, but what they found is that people who had had to stop work because of cognitive decline and memory problems were actually able to reverse the memory loss and go back to work. And this held up for over 2 years as they were tracking these people. And it involves a kind of simplified version of the diet that's in this book. One thing it involves is increased omega-3s. It involves really watching your blood sugar levels. lots of fresh and cooked vegetables, healthy fats, that sort of thing. So it's very exciting because it's the first study to show that maybe cognitive decline can actually be reversed. And there's another study now out of Finland that also shows with a very simplified holistic approach, you can delay the onset of cognitive decline. And this also went for 2 years as they followed it. So more and more, I think we will see that a holistic, a total approach to brain health, one that isn't particularly high tech, one that is very simple to implement, has profound healing possibilities.
And it's not simply wishful thinking.
That's right. There's science to back it up.
Indeed. Well, on that note, let's recommend that our listeners pick up a copy of the Neurogenesis Diet and Lifestyle. You beautifully summarize some of the measures that are reasonable to undertake if you want to keep your brain working well. Upgrade your brain, upgrade your life, by today's guest, Dr. Brant Courtwright. Thank you, Dr. Courtwright, for joining us.
Thank you, and I appreciate your helping to spread the word about neurogenesis.
Indeed. All right. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Mm-hmm.